Hebrews 11, please. Hebrews 11. Let's read the whole chapter. I'll actually go back about four verses. Let's go back four verses into chapter 10 and verse 35 for context. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaks. By faith Enoch was translated, they should not see death. It was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the saints which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yes, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wow, I don't know about you, but what a chapter. This is such a powerful chapter. It's been one of my favorite chapters for a long time. And I remember, I really love the whole truth of our faith in the Lord. It's been very much a trial of faith in my life. And I remember when I first came to Christ, I remember when I was on that washroom floor. And I remember when I cried unto the Lord, because I came from a background that we did not preach faith in Christ. They preached works and trying to get to heaven by doing. And I remember when I was on that washroom floor crying out to God. And I cried out to the Lord and I said to him, Lord, save me. And I was at the end of myself and I cried unto God, Lord, just save me. I need to be saved. And I remember this verse so strongly, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, Daniel, whosoever believeth. And I remember there, my eyes were all of a sudden opened. It's by faith in the person of Christ. At that moment, the Lord saved me, and it's become so precious by faith, not by works, not by baptisms, but by faith. So I'd like to do a little bit of an overview, a little excursus on faith, and how the Christian life is, how it starts, how it continues, and how it ends. So we begin by faith, and there we find that in Romans 5. And I'm just using some references here, but Romans 5 is a very, very beautiful reference there. How Romans 5 verse 1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there in Romans 5, this is how we are justified. This is how we are made right with God. This is it's an absolute fundamental that by faith in Christ, reliance upon Christ, we are justified. Justified, declared righteous. That is how we come to Christ. And John 3:16 is another one. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So we're declared righteous. We're justified in Romans 5, verse 1. So this is how we come. This is how we begin our journey with God, is through faith. By faith justified. We begin by faith. But then also, we continue by faith. And this is something that, even in the last year, the Lord has really impressed this upon me. How we continue by faith. How the Christian life is just how it began. That's how we continue. It is by faith. And you'll find this in Galatians 2, in verse 20. Now, I always love Galatians 2 and verse 20, especially the latter part of it. That it says there that the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I always love that. But I've never really appreciated as in the past year, the first part of that. And Paul says there, I have been crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. I am still living now on this side of the resurrection. I'm still living. But I'm not living, but Christ is living. That's lordship, real lordship. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And what does he say next after that? And that's what's been so powerful to me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So there we have the Christian life. Not only do we begin by faith through justification, as you read there in Romans 5 verse 1, justified by faith, but now we have the life that I now live in the flesh from here on till I die or I am translated. From here on, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. It doesn't end. And we think of Galatians there, and the Galatians were, they would have gone, the Judaizers came in, and they would have tried to get them back under the bondage, back under the law. And they had known that they were justified by faith. Because Paul asked them, when you came, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And he asked them this, and they would have known that it is by the hearing of faith. It's the hearing of faith. They would have known that. And sometimes in our lives is this where we begin, but we stay there by faith. And because afterwards what happened is, the Judaizers came in and they told them that they have to be circumcised. They added to the work of Christ. They said, Christ is not enough. And they affected them, but not for good, it says. And so it affected the believers there. And they tried to get them back under bondage. That Christ is not truly not enough. And we heard Brother Derek say this morning about how you are complete in him. There's nothing needed. You have Christ. But then he asked them later, he who supplies the Spirit among you and works miracles amongst you right now presently, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So now he's saying, not only were you, the Spirit of God was supplied to you when you believed, not only was this, did you receive the Spirit by faith, but he's saying, the one who works miracles amongst you right now, miracles amongst you, does he do it by the works of the law or by hearing of faith? And he's asking them a rhetorical question. And they would have known it is actually by faith. It really is. Just like they began. It wasn't by the works of the law, by anything to do with the flesh. But it was all of Christ. And all by faith. And so we continue by faith. This is how we're sanctified as well. Not just how we began, but how we're sanctified. Is day by day continuance of trusting and dependence upon Christ right now for present power, for present strength. When we're weak, trusting in Christ. And he's going to give us strength and grace to live the Christian life. It's all by dependence on the risen, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is not apart from him. Our Christian life is not apart from him. As it has been said in the past, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who can live the Christian life. And we think of how he living himself out in us as we yield to him by faith. This is how we live the Christian life. So I'm just giving a small, we know these things, but just a small encouragement. We begin by faith, but we continue day by day by faith. Now it's worth noting that it's not only, faith has a source and faith has an object. It has a book and a look. And I've heard that said in the past, and I like that. Faith has a book, and faith has a look. And the book is the Word of God. And now we mentioned that in the Gospel many times. We go to Romans 10. How does faith come? And we easily say faith comes by hearing, As you heard earlier about hearing of faith, faith comes by hearing. And where does hearing come from? From the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I remember recently I read a book by Theodore Epp. Very nice, amazing book. Job formed in a furnace of faith. And he mentioned that in there. He said as a young Christian, he was very much struggling with faith. And he wanted to have more faith. He read George Mueller and read about all these men who are very much an encouragement for faith. But he was wondering, how can I get that kind of faith? And he tried and he fasted and prayed and asked the Lord for more faith. And he really was very at the deepest, darkest point in his life. And this happened for a year or so, or 2 years. And he was getting very discouraged with his lack of faith and unbelief. And then one brother shared with him, how did he come to Christ? How did he get faith in the first place? It's by the Word of God. And all of a sudden it clicked. This is how my faith can be strengthened. It's through the book, through the Bible. This is how, and I've noticed in my own life, brothers and sisters, when I feel I'm struggling with unbelief and not really, I feel at a distance from the Lord, the hardest thing that I've noticed is actually getting into the Word. But it really is what we need the most. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're struggling with unbelief or doubt or anything like that, let us get into the book. Because there our faith will be strengthened. All of a sudden we come to scriptures that encourage our faith. We read about Job. And it says, consider the patience of Job and the end intended of the Lord. That the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. And all of a sudden our faith is lifted. And we go on in faith and we're strengthened. So faith has a book, but faith has a look. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the object of our faith. And this is all to do with our sanctification. The Word of God is very instrumental, but also Christ in the Word of God. And we read this in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. We're changed, we're sanctified, we're further set apart into the same image as Christ, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So as we behold the Lord Jesus Christ, and here's more, I believe, the risen Christ, but it would also apply to his death, to all those things, anything to do with the Lord Jesus, his work and his ascension. But it is really talking about the living, glorified, resurrected Christ at the right hand of God. And we every day in intimacy with Christ, relying on him, seeing him in the Word, seeing the risen Christ, beholding him as in the glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So sanctification comes by faith as well. And of course, it's worth mentioning that, of course, we do works as Christians. That is the outcome of faith. It's a real faith, and James deals with that. James deals with that there is a faith that works. It's a faith that works, but never the other way around. And I want to encourage us tonight. I've heard this said in the past, and it's troubled me how many professing Christians who weren't saved, but they were in the church, and they got saved after that. But I've heard these testimonies quite a few times now where they looked at their works, and then they thought that because of their works and the way they live, they had faith. And that is putting the cart before the horse. It's very dangerous. And the Lord revealed to them that they weren't saved and that they hadn't come to Christ by faith first. It's always in that order. The scriptures is very clear about that. It's always faith in Christ first, justified by faith. And then there's works. You come to Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it says, we are created in Christ Jesus, after that it says, unto good works, which God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So it is always faith first, which is no boasting, nothing to do with ourselves, everything to do with God. But then all of a sudden, because we have real saving faith in Christ, relying upon Christ alone for our salvation. All of a sudden, there comes this life, the life of the Spirit, and we have works. But never put the cart before the horse. And I've heard this said in the past, where they were looking at their works. Actually, that's where my background, that's what they believe as well. Because the way you live, you have faith. But it's not like that. That will lead people to hell. It really will. So let us see that to this morning. But then we end by faith. Not only are we justified by faith, but we also continue in faith, and that's how our sanctification comes, but also we end by faith. 1 Peter 1, verse 9, it says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So we have a faith that endures until the end. And I will talk about the outline here, the outline of chapter 11, but just for context, that's why I read four verses earlier to get the context of, actually I'll do the book of Hebrews just to understand where we're at. First we come to, 1 second here. And we've had a few outlines about Hebrews, but just to recap, in Hebrews has to do with the superiority of Christ. Now we read in Colossians, we read about the supremacy of Christ and so on. But here he is talking to a Jewish audience. And he is speaking to them who know about the Old Testament, who came from the background of Judaism. But they had come out of Judaism, these Christians here. And they had come out from what the Jews, going back to all of the Old Testament, they had come out of that to faith in Christ. But they are suffering a lot, the Hebrews. They are suffering a lot. And the writer to the Hebrews is encouraging them and showing them that Christ now, after the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, he is superior in his person. And we read that in chapter 1. Chapter 1, is Christ is superior in his person. He's superior to the prophets. And he's also superior to the angels. That's in chapter 1. But then Christ is also superior to Moses and Joshua. That's in chapter 3 and 4. So there he is talking about Christ's superiority in relation to the Old Testament prophets. That's why in the last days he has spoken unto us by his Son. He is a superior one. He's not just a prophet. And many people nowadays in different religions, they say Christ is only a prophet. But he's a good prophet, but he's only a prophet. No. The writer of the Hebrews is saying he's much, much more than that. He is superior to all the prophets, superior to the angels, to which of the angels, as he said, and so on. He's superior to Moses, superior to Joshua. And Moses was one of their heroes. He really was, and he was a great prophet indeed. But Christ is far superior than Moses. But then you come further, and now it's not just Christ being superior in his person, but he's superior in his priesthood. And we find that in chapter 4 to chapter 7, Christ's high priesthood is superior to Aaron's. He is superior to Aaron's priesthood. There you get the priesthood, how he is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You find that there. It's an eternal priesthood. It's not temporary. And then Christ's ministry itself is superior to Aaron's. That's in chapter 8. And then you'll have, of course, Christ's offerings being superior to the Old Testament offerings, to the Old Testament sacrifices, because the sacrifices of the Old Testament could never take away sins. They were temporary. And every year, the priest at the Day of Atonement would have to go in. And it was every year. It was continually for hundreds and thousands, for thousands of years. But then we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is his offering once and for all. He has satisfied God, and then he went up to the right hand of God. So now that's where we come to here in our chapter. And in chapter 10, we have some warnings to not go back. We heard that from Brother Ian last time. To not go back to the weak and beggarly elements. And you can see how the Hebrew believers here would have been so, how pertinent this chapter on faith really is. Because Before that, he reads, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." He's saying, it will not always be like this by faith. It will be by sight someday. "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And we think of the context here of the Hebrews going through such sufferings. And what do we have now? What do we have now? The other ones would have boasted and made a mockery of them. Look, what do you have? They would have had a table like this and a piece and bread and cups. And they would have remembered the Lord Jesus as all they had, outwardly speaking. And the Hebrews or the Judaizers would have made fun of them and said, "Look what we have. We have all the things pertaining to the prophets, all the temple." They had all those things that they could boast in outwardly. And look what they had. But what do we have? We have the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And they were encouraged here to have faith, to trust, because sight is not, it's not about sight, it's about faith. And they would have been so encouraged when a writer would have written to them and the Holy Spirit would have brought before them that the Old Testament saints, they live by faith, just like you do right now. You came out from the types and the shadows and to the risen Christ, the one who is the antitype, the one who is the fulfillment of the shadows and all the shadows of the Old Testament. But Christ is the answer, and he's saying, but you have to trust in him now by faith. And it would have been such an encouragement to them that all of a sudden they would realize, that's right. All the people of old, they had faith. And he would have gone through these, and this would be the chapter of the heroes of the faith. This is like the hall of fame of the hero of faith, really. The world has a hall of fame in sports and all these things. But we have a hall of fame of faith. And these are the cloud of witnesses. All the people here that are mentioned is a cloud of witnesses. And now we come here to the more immediate context. And he would have, from verse 1 to verse 3, verse 1 to verse 3, we have how faith works or what faith does. And from verses 4 to 31, we have instances of faith. And from verse 32 to 40, we have the rest of the heroes of the faith. So let's take a look at the verses here. So as it has been said in the past, we go back to verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith." And we have these three references to this in the New Testament. And this is, of course, from Habakkuk. "The just shall live by his faith." And actually, faith, the word itself, is mentioned only two times in the Old Testament. Back in the Old Testament, the children who have no faith, as back in Deuteronomy. And then it says, "The just shall live by faith" in Habakkuk. And of course, the definition of faith itself is, in its most simple and basic terms, it's trusting God. Trusting in God. Trusting in the Word of God. Resting in the Lord. Faith. And here we have in verse 1, we have how faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, this is really more of what faith does for us. Not necessarily what faith is, but what faith does, how it works. But I just forgot to go back here. The three references, "The just shall live by faith," we have one in Romans 1. And there in Romans 1, it is more to do with the focus or the emphasis has to do with just. "The just shall live by faith." There it is more the ones who are justified. Romans talks more about justification and the righteousness of God. So there it says in Romans, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So there it talks about the righteousness of God, the just ones. They live by faith. Then we come to Galatians. In Galatians 3, verse 11, it says, for that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So in Galatians, you have, of course, the wider context of Galatians. It is about living. After you have come to Christ, being justified, you don't go back to the works of the law. You live by faith. So it says after that, the man that doeth them shall live in them. So there in Galatians, you would have, the emphasis would be more on the just shall live by faith. But here you come to Hebrews, and he talks about faith. You read here, in Hebrews, emphasis is on faith, because it says, but we are not of them which draw back into perdition. What is drawing back? It's with unbelief. That's the context of Hebrews, is unbelief. And you read that further in Hebrews 12, the besetting sin would be unbelief. And here it says, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So it's a belief that is not going back. Because that is the apostasy there in Hebrews, is going back. But he is encouraging them to go on in faith. And this is why this is such an encouragement to them here. And I believe, like many of us here maybe, might have struggles with faith. And I know I've had lots of struggles in my life, much of struggles with unbelief. So this is something that is so pertinent to me, really, first and foremost. This whole chapter, I was so encouraged by this chapter in the past, and I'm so encouraged that the Lord has given me the privilege to share this, because this is so, to me, that's so, such a powerful chapter of faith. When things don't go away, your way, when sickness comes in, I've had lots of different sicknesses and things like that, and hopes, dashed hopes, and all that. And what's the first thing we tend to do? And we tend to have unbelief and to look around and get discouraged. And we lose sight of the bigger picture. And God wants to hear, encourage us by looking at this, that faith is really the answer for us. So now we come to verse 1. One second here. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or it could be read also, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So this is more of what faith does for us. Substance is another way of saying assurance, or it makes things real to the soul. This is the best way that I understand it, is it makes faith, lays hold of what God says, and makes it very real to the soul. It makes it very real. Like, for example, faith makes the connection. Like, if you think about the vine and the branches, and how Christ says, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. Abide in me by faith. Stay there. Stay inside of this positional truth that we are in Christ. But how do we make the connection? How do we abide there? It's by faith. And as soon as that connection is made, all of a sudden, grace comes. And that is how the Christian life is lived. Faith is that connection. Faith is the substance. Faith makes it real to us. That's why Christians, when you go up to a Christian, ask him, how do you know that you will be in heaven? But he will say, I know for sure. And how can he be so sure? Because he has assurance, the substance, because he has faith in Christ. And because you have faith in Christ, it's the most real thing. Faith is itself is the substance. It is the bridge. It is that which works. So faith is actually the substance itself. That's the way I understand it, that faith makes things real to us. And as you trust in God, as soon as you trust in the Lord, all of a sudden, it becomes real to you. How do we know that Christ is going to come back? We know, but how do we know? We have this assurance, substance. It's the things that are hoped for are real. They're as real to us as the ground that we stand on. That's really what he's saying here. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it's also the evidence of things not seen. Now this is, right now our Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of God. But how do we know this? Well, we have it in the Word of God. Faith lays hold of the Word of God and says it's true. And that's why Christians die for their faith. That's how our brothers and sisters in the other side of the world are martyred for Christ. That's why they can stand and actually give their lives for Christ and stand under that sword. Because of these verses here, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. It makes the spiritual things real to our souls, almost tangible. And it's as real to us than the ground that we stand on. That's what faith is. It makes things real to us. But faith also has the Word of God, and we stand on what God has revealed to us through the Word of God. Evidence is from the Scriptures. It is where we get our food for faith. That's what we stand on. But if you think also of faith in our own lives, how does it work? Because in James it says, he who asks in faith, let him who doubts or wavers not think he receives anything from the Lord, because he's a double-minded man. So it talks about that in James. So faith is very, when we ask God in our prayers or in our lives, when we ask the Lord as we live day by day with him, to provide for us or things that we ask him, we should ask in faith according to the Word of God. Because, for example, I think of George Mueller and how he was there and he would give thanks to God for that food that was, the orphans were sitting around, I think it was about 200 of them, and he was standing there in front of them and there was no food on their plates that morning. But then he gave thanks just like any other day. He gave thanks to God, and he gave thanks for the food that God is going to provide. Now, this is faith in action. This is substance. It is faith itself makes God move. It puts all the onus or the responsibility on God, and God loves that. He is glorified exceedingly when those things happen. George Mueller had a promise from God that God will provide for their needs. His children had needs, and he thanked God for that food. And sure enough, we wouldn't be surprised. The door, knock on the door, and there was food for them. And also a little bit later, knock on the door, and there was milk. And we think of these things, and I think of a story from one missionary I heard about a decade ago. And he went there, and he had a great need for he had $1,000 that he really needed, $1,000. But he knew that God in his word, because he was standing on the Scriptures. And that's why faith is not just a leap in the dark. It's not just conjuring up something in our minds or trying to have faith. The more faith I have, the more God is going to bless me because of that. No, it is a reliance on the Word of God. And that's what this missionary did. He realized that his need was stark and very real. And he realized that God is true to his word. He will provide the $1,000. Sure enough, he went home, and in a mailbox, he had an envelope. Him and his wife went down on their knees, and they thanked God for the $1,000 that was in there. And of course, it was $1,000. But that's just what we're talking about, is faith is real. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So now the Hebrew writer would have brought them to the next verse, to the elders. He says, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report, a good testimony from God. They obtained a good testimony. And the elders here would be the men and women of old. They're the cloud of witnesses there in Hebrews 12. It says there in Hebrews 12, verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And I believe the primary sin there is unbelief. And let us run the race with patience, the race that is set before us. So there we have the elders obtained a good report. So verse 3, he goes into creation. The first thing he talks about here is creation. For through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith we understand. And this is another principle as Christians. Through faith we understand. It's not the other way around. It's not by sight and then we believe. Because you think of Jesus saying there to Martha, or is it Mary? He said to her, "Did I not tell thee that if you believe, you shall see the glory of God? If you believe first, you shall see." That is the way that God works. That is how we bring glory to God, is we believe, and then we see, then we understand. We think of the leading atheists of the world, like Darwin and all those men who are men of unbelief. And they would, Richard Dawkins and all these people, and even the regular person, I've shared the gospel with people who, and they said, "If I see it, I will believe it. If I see it, I will believe it." And that is the exact opposite of the way we should live. And many times we get into this, we do that. We feel like we need sight. We want to see. But the Bible, it is not like that in the scriptures. We think of 1 John. John says, "These things have I written unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know." So it's always believing first and then knowing. And then we also read how Jesus said to Thomas, he says to him that you believe because you saw. But here we are, all of us here. He says, "Blessed are those who do not see, but yet have believed." My time is done. I didn't realize the time was going so fast here, brothers and sisters. I realize I'll have to do some touch-ups. This is the first week, so I'm not sure. I didn't know how far I can take this yet. But I think we'll close by this here. But just this verse, that we understand, it goes right back to creation. The first thing that God has revealed to us is to be believed. For by faith, we understand that the worlds are framed by the word of God. That's why we understand creation. That's why the world doesn't understand. That's why they come up with crazy theories like the Big Bang and something created everything and things like that. Just ludicrous. But we understand, and we're way ahead of those who believe in sight, but yet they do not have faith. So let us be encouraged. Just these first three verses. Next week, we can go into the instances of faith. But let's close with a word of prayer.